Om Ajnana Tiniranthasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Gita Govinda, known here in Tamil Nadu as Ashtapadi. Why? As eight padas. Don't know why. It's another of those things to research. We need a research institute. At least here I hear it called that. It must be called that elsewhere also. Okay, translation. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a fish, all glories to you. You easily acted as a boat in the form of a giant fish just to give protection to the Vedas, which had become immersed in the turbulent sea of devastation. What's the translation for turbulent sea given there? It's not in the original Sanskrit. It's like a poetic translation. Now, I was just thinking how if in Sanskrit or Indian languages, all the words are interrelated. So the word for turbulent here might, although it's not in the original Sanskrit, might be given as Bhima. And then when you think of the name Bhima, then you hear of it in other contexts also. And it all links together. Then you hear the word Bhim, then you think of Bhim. And then when you say the name Bhim, you think of, that's an example of a terrible sea. Those of you who have seen the sea, previously people in Salem wouldn't have ever seen the sea. Before the trains came, they'd lived their whole life and never seen the sea. But those who see the sea, they know when it becomes, they know in Chennai from the tsunami, can be very dangerous and very high. Actually, in Chennai, it's always dangerous. Anytime you go bathing, in the morning especially, the sea is so strong, it can just take you and kill you immediately. So anyway, it's just a tangential meditation. Verse number 2. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. All glories to you. In this incarnation, as a divine tortoise, the great Mandara mountain rests upon your gigantic back as a pivot for churning the ocean of milk. From holding up the huge mountain, a large scar-like depression is put in your back, or on your back, which has become most glorious. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a boar, all glories to you. The earth, which had become immersed in the Garbhodak ocean at the bottom of the universe, sits fixed upon the tip of your tusk like a spot upon the moon. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a half-man, half-lion. Actually, to be more exact, that translation is not very correct. You can say the form of a boar, the form of a fish, but you can't say the form of a half-man, half-lion, because he's the only one. Make a note of that. We should send that to Dravida. So it's not like that he is unique in being Narasimha, who have assumed the half-man, half-lion form. All glories to you. Just as one can easily crush a wasp between one's fingernails. That's a dangerous thing to do, because the wasp will sting you. So in the same way, the body of the wasp-like demon Hiranyakashipu has been ripped apart by the wonderful pointed nails on your beautiful lotus hands. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a dwarf, Brahmana, all glories to you. O wonderful dwarf, by your massive steps, you deceive King Bali, and by the Ganges water that has emanated from the nails of your lotus feet, you deliver all living beings within this world. Actually, even to say assume the form of, it's not theologically very correct. Because he is eternally Narahari, he is eternally Ramachandra. You say he's assumed the form of a fish, it gives the idea that the fish was there first, the mundane fish was there, and then Bhagavan took the form of a fish in imitation of that, whereas it's round the other way. Make a note of that also. This is the kind of thing you'll get in some Mayavadi commentary. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, in the form of Bhrigupati, Parashuram, all glories to you. At Kurukshetra, you bathe the earth in the rivers of blood from the bodies of the demoniac Kshatriyas that you have slain. The sins of the world are washed away by you, and because of you, people are relieved from the blazing fire of material existence. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, in the form of Ramachandra, all glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you distribute the ten-headed demon Ravana and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them, who were much harassed by this monster. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, in the form of Balaram, the wielder of the plow, all glories to you. On your brilliant white body you wear garments the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. These garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Yamuna, who feels great fear due to the striking of your plowshare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Buddha, that we can say. Because it's not, he's not eternally. All glories to you, O Buddha of compassionate heart, you decry the slaughtering of poor animals performed according to the rules of Vedic sacrifice. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, in the form of Kalki, all glories to you. You appear like a comet and carry a terrifying sword for bringing about the annihilation of the wicked barbarian men at the end of the Kali Yuga. O Keshava, O Lord Hari, in 10 different forms, all glories to you. O readers, please, O hearers, make that a note also. It says, O hearers, Shrinu Sukadam, please hear this hymn of the poet Jayadev, which is most excellent, an awarder of happiness, a bestower of auspiciousness, and is the best thing in this dark world. So we'll now read from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Is the verse written there? Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 22. Naradevatvama panna surakarya chikirshya samudra nigraha dini chakre viryanya tafkaram. Translation. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Purport. The personality of Godhead, Sri Rama, assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with the spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But, puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly reaching the heavenly planet so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Rama, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife, Sita. Of course, Lord Rama came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is the subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramachandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, he made the stones even within this earth to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. So we are assembled here today to celebrate the appearance of Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan in this world. And I see many devotees are smiling. It is an occasion of happiness for Maharaj Dasharath and for everyone except Ravana, Kara, Dushan, etc. Vibhishana? Maricha. There are so many. And their cohorts. Oh, they should have been pleased. But because they're demons, they weren't. So Lord Ramchandra appeared a very long time ago. And it's not, when you say Traitor Yuga, it wasn't exactly the one just before this one. It was quite a few Yuga cycles ago. And Lord Ramachandra is still being worshipped today, which is one of the proofs that he's God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, I'll get back to that a little bit later. Often people think that, well, as Gauriya Vaishnavas, we shouldn't ever think of Ramachandra, shouldn't. It's like below our dignity or some such thing. There's some idea like that. And of course, Gauriya Vaishnavas, they generally concentrate their attention on Krishna, especially Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Although, some of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's closest associates, Murari Gupta, by whose grace we know about his pastimes in Navadvip, was, should we say, a great devotee of Lord Rama. He's the greatest devotee, he's Hanuman. And Anupam, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later renamed Vallabh, was a great devotee of Lord Rama. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he appreciated the bhakti of the devotee who's the brahmana who invited him to lunch and then didn't give him anything to eat, because Lakshman hadn't come back from the forest with the, I can't cook anything, because he didn't bring anything out. And he was, this brahmana was upset because he was passing his whole life in lamentation, thinking how Ravana could even touch the body of Jagat Janani, the mother of the universe, Sita. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a little later, in the same region, way down further south than here, in the area where the Kaveri flows. What's that called? Chola country? Is it? Where the Kaveri flows? Later. That's Panda area? Is it? Anyway, now it's all Tamil Nadu. I thought you might know this. What's Chola area, Panda area, all this? So he heard a recitation from the Puranas. Which Purana was that? Maybe Kurma Purana, in which it stated that Ravana never touched Sita. He only took Maya Sita, which supports the story of the Lakshman Rekha. That once Sita went outside that, then an illusory form manifested. In the meantime, Agnidev kept her and returned her later. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so compassionate upon this brahmana, he had that copied and he came back to that brahmana and told him, look, don't worry, it's all right. And then that brahmana became very happy and said, but I didn't recognize that you are the same Lord Rama who came to my home directly. And anyway, since seeing you, I've been chanting Krishna, Krishna. So I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally celebrated Ram Vijay Mahotsav and state. And he, in his, this is all we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his instructions to Rupa Goswami, he specifically says that devotees should celebrate Ram Navami. So in this way, we're not violating the laws of Gaurya Vaishnava Dharma by celebrating Ram Navami. Of course, maybe in a little bit different way to that others do, because our attention is first and foremost on Krishna, who is none different. Ramadimurtishu kalani amena tishtanna navatara makaran puvaneshu. Kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramapumanyo govindavadi purusham tamaham vajami. Krishna takes many forms. The original form is Krishna. He takes many forms, beginning with Rama, which in this context means Balaram, and appears in various avatars in this world. Still the original form is Krishna. So with that consciousness, Gaurya Vaishnavas worship Lord Rama. We find also the gopis of Vrindavan, they knew very well that Krishna was Rama, because they were lamenting their misfortune in having come in contact with Krishna. This is all ananda chinmaya rasa. This is all transcendental bliss. Just stick it in the box. If I need it, I'll let you know. They say, what can we expect, Krishna? You know, what can we expect from you anyway? As Purnamasi told us that in your previous verses, as Rama, the Shurpanaka came to you with some romantic, erotic feelings, which is natural for a woman. We also came to you with romantic feelings. You cheated us. So it's natural for a woman in that way, but you were so cruel that you had her nose and ears cut off. And then again, Bali Maharaj, he was very good, but you simply cheated him, Vamandev, and tied him up and threw him into the lower region. So what can we expect from you? It's like, you know, it's your nature to the people who come to you with loving feelings that you mistreat them. The gopis were lamenting in this way. So they also knew that Krishna is Rama. So we celebrate Ram Navami. And some years ago, I was in, what's the name of that? Medaninaga, I believe is the Puranic name. That's now called Daltanganj in Jharkhand, which used to be in Bihar. And I came, I believe it was 1 or 2 days after Ram Navami, and the whole area, because we had to drive from Ranchi or somewhere, the whole area you could see were all festooned. It had obviously been a great celebration. So the whole area, everyone is celebrating. A big, big, huge celebration, Ram Navami. So Gauriya Vaishnava's good. Prabhupada also celebrated. He opened the Krishna Balaram temple on Ram Navami. So we also celebrate that. But for those who are absorbed in thoughts of Rama, it's not exactly a celebration in the way that someone celebrates an occasional festival. But it's those who hear Ram Leela constantly, they aspire to be part of it, and they may think of themselves as part of it. And as I was reading that book, I gave a lecture on that some time ago in Bangalore, that the dramas of Ram Leela, which are performed throughout North India, especially in Varanasi, different parts of the city, they're named after the places where those leelas are performed. So the people who play those parts, they identify with it so much, and some of the people, they identify with the players who play the parts so much. But they just take it, this person is Rama, this person is Hanuman. Because they play that part once a year in the drama. And Hanuman, who plays that part, when he passes away or gets too old, then his son, his eldest son, plays that part. So it's like, so that they... Hare Krishna. So the absorption and feeling that they are, that we are... It's not just some remembrance of something that took place so many, but today Rama has appeared. That is, it's not a celebration, something that happened millions of years ago, but today all of Ayodhya is happy. Dasharath, especially, everyone is happy because our king is happy. Here the word is Naradevatvam, Rama. Apana, assumed, for want of a better word, taking the Naradeva means the king, the God represented, or a man who is God, however you want to explain it. Naradeva means the king. So the king, in the Vedic culture, people worship as God. They worship him, and he takes the form of Ishvara Bhava. We find in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one of the qualities of the Kshatriya, Ishvara Bhava. So he actually feels that he's God. Not in the sense of Ravana feeling that he's God, to exploit others, but to protect others. to nurture them, and he takes the lead in coordinating the whole society. Administration, when we think of administration, we think of administration so people can live in this world and have sense gratification. But the Kshatriyas, they organize everything so that everyone, the whole society is based on yajna, and that all the work of the society, that the work that people do, that culminates in yajna, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Anyway. All work culminates in yajna. That means the grains and the ghee, krishi goraksha, the grains and the ghee, they're offered into the fire, and the king becomes the yajaman, or the head of the one who offers the sacrifice on behalf of all the other people. So there's a relationship of protector and protected, of great love between the king and the citizens. And when the kings became like Ravana instead of like Rama, then they threw out the kings. All over the world, the kings are deposed. But otherwise, the kings, they and even you'll find that many kings, they have a name, Rama. Even now in Thailand, all the kings are called Rama, even though the present one, who's almost dead, he's very old, his main joy in life is playing jazz saxophone, so he's not really like Rama. But, and though he has very little political power, people, they love him, that feeling is there too. And in Thailand, even now, if you say anything against the king, people will, they'll probably kill you. And they probably wouldn't get treated by the law also. That feeling is there. Because even now, though he has no political power and he can't actually protect the citizens from all the nasty politicians. In Thailand, the politicians are normal politicians, maybe a little nastier than others. But he himself has that feeling, like the protector. The protector of the people, he's the father and the shelter of the people. So, the people of Ayodhya are very happy. Today, Dasharat, after in his old age, when it was thought impossible, he has got 4 sons. They all appeared actually very shortly, one day. So, anyway, today is Rama's appearance. So they're all very happy. And of course, this boy was not to be just any king. Any king is a special person, but he's not any king. He is Rama, who naturally brings happiness to everyone, especially to the pious people. Therefore, he's called Rama, who gives pleasure. Ramante yogino, what is that? Ramante yogino nantas chidananda, satyananda chidatmani, iti rama padenasu parang brahma vidhiyate. The definition of Rama, the very meaning of Rama, is he who gives unlimited spiritual pleasure to the yogis. So Rama has appeared. Today Rama has appeared. That's the feeling of the people, of the devotees. And they live their whole life. This is the idea. You go on hearing Ram Leela throughout your life so that it's so attractive that by hearing daily, that automatically in one's daily activities, one will be absorbed in thoughts of Rama. Therefore, one should go on hearing again and again and again. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a proof that he is Bhagavan, because otherwise one cannot hear a story again and again and again. Actually, from the mundane point of view, the story of Ram Leela It's quite good, but it's probably not the best. These modern novelists, they've probably made more interesting stories. Just the other day I was watching a video of Nanda Kumar Prabhu, who's one of Prabhupada's servants. And he made a reference when he went to Africa, when he wasn't Prabhupada's servant, and some of the things they went through. And he said it was something like Indigo Jones or something like that? Indiana Jones, is that it? And I didn't know what that was, so I looked it up, and it's something from Star Trek, or is it? Something from...
It was a series of three films, Harrison Ford.
Right, well, it's that Spielberg.
Harrison Ford
was the actor, and Spielberg was the director. He made this... Anyway, the storyline was probably very interesting, because, you know, millions of people went to see it. And even Nanda Kumar, who was Prabhupada's ex-servant, and he said it in a way that everyone's supposed to know what it means. So I thought it's something, one of those American things that we British people don't know. So look, Indiana Jones. And it was there in the Britannica, the name Indiana Jones. It's just some made-up figure, that's all, in the Britannica encyclopedia. So maybe the storyline is very interesting. I don't know if anyone here has ever watched any. Isn't it Star Trek, isn't it? No. Not Star Trek. That's something else altogether. That's not Spielberg. Oh, but it's similar. It's something in space and all that.
Science fiction.
Science fiction. Okay. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Something like that, I saw. So anyway, the storyline is probably very exciting and very interesting. Maybe more so than from the objective point of view than... Or is it subjective? Maybe they meet here. Than that of Ram Leela. But still, I challenge anyone, however great a fan they may be maybe of Indiana Jones, to sit and watch the Raiders of the Lost Ark every single day for a month, and then ask them if they want to see it again. Whereas Ram Leela... People hear it again and again and again, and they're more and more eager to hear it. Why is that? Because Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is a divine attraction. We're not just hearing, it's not some fictional figure. Nor is it even a non-fictional figure, and like, of course, Ram is non-fictional. But he's not some mundane non-fictional figure. Ram Leela is, it's a very dynamic story, a very romantic story. There are so many famous romances. Romeo and Juliet. Were they real people? Anyone has any idea? No, made up figures. Some of Shakespeare's dramas were based on real figures. So, it must have been interesting story. There's so many interesting stories. Napoleon, his story is very interesting. But even the most patriotic Frenchman wouldn't like to hear it over and over. You get some feeling is there. Le France. But it's not like a spiritual feeling. But Ram Leela, people like to hear again and again. And by hearing it again and again, not only is it attractive, but they become purified. And not only, you may say, well, it's a moral story. You learn about cooperation between brothers and duty to family and all this kind of thing. But it's naturally, by its very nature, purifying, because Ram, by hearing about him, he is pure. And there is pure means, it's not just some word. But it means free from kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, mad pride, and envy. Yeah. So, purity means to be freed from those qualities and to be absorbed in love of Krishna. So by hearing about Krishna, Rama, one automatically becomes purified. So the Vedic culture, which we want to revive, that is, one of the purposes of the Krishna Conscious Movement is to revive this culture where the people are always talking about and thinking about Rama and Krishna, hearing their leelas and being absorbed in that. So we should have devotees who speak on Ram Leela and Krishna Leela, all the Vamana Leela, all the different pastimes, and the people should know Rama. Now people don't know. They don't know what the pastimes are. Even you told me some years ago, most people in Tamil Nadu, they don't even know the name Ramanuja. It's great shame. Great shame. And really our movement has so much work to do. They don't, Ramanuja, want to speak of the Albas, and no idea. Even the Iyengars themselves, they may marry, they say, well, we'll only marry within, there's the within our galai, or kalai, vadagalai, tanigalai. But they don't know what it means. What's the differences? Maybe they see the old people, one has a tilak like this and the other one has a tilak like that. But why they're different, they have no idea whatsoever. But no, no, we're only going to marry. Well, usually they say nowadays, kalai noba. Or they marry a smarter or a Muslim or whatever. The girls marry Muslims, the boys don't marry Muslim girls. So, yeah, we have to revive this culture. People should know this Ramayana should be distributed, actually. Krishna book, Ramayana, they should be distributed, the book, and verbally also. We should discuss among ourselves these different pastimes and be absorbed in them. And discussing the pastimes of the Alvas also and how they are absorbed. That story is there of Kulashekhar Alva. It's one of my favorites. That how he's the king, so he's sitting in his palace hearing Ram Leela. It comes to the point now that all the monkeys are getting called together. They're going to get their army and go and fight. And he's sitting, because the idea is you're not supposed to think of it as some historical thing, but just you become absorbed. So all of a sudden he stands up and says, okay, call the commander-in-chief of the army, call all the forces. We're going to go and join Rab's army. We're going to go and join the monkeys. And he's completely absorbed in the ministers and the soldiers means they're spread throughout the kingdom, and normally they don't keep a standing army as in the modern age where they have to, like in India, they have over 1 million people who are just, you have to feed them and clothe them and train them for nothing. But they're doing their army means they come as an army when they're needed. Otherwise they're doing their household duties, whatever. So they all have to come and get, you know, put on their armor and get their bows and everything, calls all of them, gets them marching, and the ministers are trying to stop him and say, no, 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 no. And then after some time, when they're marching on, gradually they've brought the whole army together, they begin to realize that actually, if you go to Setu Bandha, you'll just see some sea and some sand, but you won't see, of course, that's the thing, Kulashekhar will see Ram there, but no one else will see him, and they're wondering, what are we doing here? How are we going to cross it? It seems ridiculous to them, but for Kulashekhar Alva, Ram is going to fight, and I'm going to go, it's my duty to help him. We'll all die also. So completely absorbed in that. So that is the, nowadays, if we bring some psychologists to analyze this, they'll give some fancy name, which some Latin name to describe his condition, some condition of of illusion in which he's imagining that something, that he's part of, but it's actually, he's not in illusion. It's not very practical for running a kingdom, which is why they had to politely, very politely depose him eventually, because you can't run a kingdom like that. But that is the reality, to see Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna by hearing about his pastimes. And that's how people, by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, when they leave this world, they just enter into those pastimes, because they're not, it's not that they're going through any big transformation, but just they're living in the pastimes now, and they just go on. Anyway, you see, what are they doing? The woman at home is cooking. She's cooking for Krishna. And gradually you become more and more absorbed in that. Now we have to feed Krishna. What will Rama eat today? Now it's Krishna, Rama's birthday, and Krishna is Rama, so what will he like to eat today? And you see, now it's very cold, we have to cook some heating foods, or in the summer we have to give some sherbet to cool him down. Thinking like this, how Krishna will eat, how Krishna will be happy. Now in the hot season we have to make a fountain for him to cool him off. It's too hot. If you see different temple, I heard at Radharaman, I went once in Nathdwar, they have this. They have one whole big room this size with the deity, not the main deity, they have in the hot seat. Nathdwar is hot. Rajasthan. It's very, very hot in the summer. And the whole area is just fountain with the fountain with scented, it's for the Lord, for the deity. And the scented water, so the whole, and then the whole room is just filled with that scented water, and it's spraying everywhere, so those who come, they also get nice and cool. So everything for the pleasure of the Lord, just living like this, what we have to do. This archan process, we worship throughout the day. Now, Krishna is very hungry, he's been out playing all day, we have to feed him nicely. Now to feed him, he's a young boy, he has a good appetite, doesn't have any digestive problems, so give him plenty to eat. Then at night, you have to put some thick milk, so in the night, if he gets up, of course, they don't know, he's already gone out, he's only pretending to be asleep. And so some thick milk is there, and you wake him up nicely in the morning with some nice songs suitable according to the raga. So like this, all the time, being absorbed in hearing about Krishna, hearing about Rama, and then at the end of life, it just means that you just go on, that's all. You just enter that. So this is the culture that we want to revive. And then a holiday doesn't mean to go to some water park or something like that, but you go visit some place of the Leela of Rama. And the sadhus in North India, they have a yearly circuit. They'll be in Ayodhya today, and then at the time of year when it's Ram Bharat Milap, then they'll be in Chitrakoot, and like that. They'll go to all the different Leela places at the time of year, and they'll hear about that at that time. So just preparing themselves for entering into the... Of course, some of them, they'll never leave Ayodhya, they'll never leave Chitrakoot. They'll like that also. So this way we should go on hearing about and speaking about and distributing the pastimes and the understanding of who is Krishna, who is Rama, and in this way, Shinu Sukadam Shubadam Bhavasaram. Within this world of birth and death, which is by nature miserable, by hearing about Krishna in his various avatars, we'll be happy. How can we be happy in this world? Hear about Krishna. That's all. the birth, death, old age and disease, they are there. That is incurable. That you cannot avoid. The body will get old and stiff. The joints will get stiff. That is for certain. But we can hear about Krishna. Krishna Rasayana. That you were telling us last night. Chittahana. There's this verse from Mukunda Mala. That the foolish people, they're only interested in taking medicines. But anyway, the body's going to be destroyed. But take the Krishna Rasayana, hearing about Krishna, by which we will be relieved from birth, old age, disease, and death eternally. And even a person, they become so much absorbed in that Krishna Leela, Rama Leela, that the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease, it's as if they can see it's actually not real. This is reality. Krishna Leela, this is reality. And this birth, death, old age and disease is just a nightmare. It's a this existence, this material existence, it's only as real as a dream is real. So if we can understand that, just like in a nightmare, you might be chased by a tiger. But then you realize this is only a dream. It's not real. And then where's the tiger? Then the tiger just, because the tiger just exists because we have accepted that it exists. That's all. Otherwise it doesn't exist. It's only a dream. So we can wake up from that. So birth, death, old age and disease, they're only there because we accept that to exist, because we have the hope of enjoying the body, which is just another dream. When we wake up from the dream and realize that Krishna Leela, Rama Leela, Vamana Leela, all these past, this is the reality, then from the perspective of the insane people who are trying to enjoy this nightmare of material existence, such people may be considered mad. But the devotees, they live in the reality of Krishna Leela. So we should hear that. Of course, Ram Leela, it's very sad. The predominant rasa is karuna, which is translated as pathetic. Pathetic not in the sense of useless, but in the sense of being very sad. It seems very sad. But Prabhupada notes in the Nectar of Devotion, I'm not sure, it's probably taken from, I don't know, from one of the commentaries, that Ram Leela seems very sad, but then why do people like to hear it again and again? Because actually it's all blissful. It's Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. It's apparently sad, but it's very, very blissful. Just like we were discussing last night about people, they like to go and see horror movies. Why should you want to go and see horror movies? It's like there's the Bhibhatsa Rasa and Bhayanaka Rasa, some mixture of something disgusting, horrible. Someone's face becomes all contorted into some monster face and becomes very fearful. Why should people like that? Because that's originally in the Supreme Lord, Nrisimhadev. So he, or the devotees, they also feel fear. They hear that maybe Kamsa is going to come himself with his army. They feel fear. So what demons are going to come? Even though you've heard Krishna Leela again and even though you've heard Ram Leela again and again, when Lakshman becomes shot down, he looks like he's going to die. And if he dies, then Rama will die also. And if Rama dies, then all the monkeys will die. All the devotees listening, they'll also die. So actually you should know Rama will never die, Lakshman will never die, but still there's the feeling that Lakshman's going to die. Why is that? Again, because it's always new. That's the very nature of the spiritual. It doesn't become old or stale or worn out. But by hearing it again and again, we again feel, oh, now, because it's always in the present. There's no time in the spiritual. In spiritual existence, there's no time. It's not that Ram Leela has happened. It's over. It's finished. But it's right now. It's going on now. So when Lakshman is lying there, and then everyone is, so what will happen now? It's immediate. It's emergency. And everyone, no one can think of anything else. So that is the effect. And that even there now, that I was told in Andhra Pradesh, they have regular this Ram Leela recital by a smarta pundit with his, it's Tripundra. Yeah. And everyone, it's like, even Muslims watch it, Christians watch it, everyone, they like to, it's naturally attractive. Even though everyone knows what's going to happen, but it's as if they don't know. And then, who else but Hanuman? He can only bring, and he has his monkey, but he's very intelligent. He's actually highly intelligent. So when he can't find the herb, he does the next best thing: bring the whole hill, bring the whole mountain. So we worship Hanuman for all his exploits. Hanuman is worshipped more than Ram, actually. I mean, people don't know, unfortunately, in the modern age, they only think of Hanuman, but they don't know about Ram. They don't even know anything about Hanuman, except that you put some kumkum on him and you hope that he'll sankata mochana, he'll remove all your obstacles. So we should go on hearing Ram Leela. We should hear again and again. For me, among all these sad pastimes, the saddest, or the, which means the most blissful, or the most touching, is that of the Agni Pariksha. It's very, very difficult to speak about this, but I'll try to. Anyway, because, again, you just have to, one who's expert at telling these pastimes, then what happens is they become, while they're speaking, they are there, and they take everyone with them, so that everyone forgets that we're sitting in wherever we may be, and they are there. In Lanka with Rama, or wherever Ram, whichever pastimes they're telling, do they respond? So the monkeys, they came to fight for Rama. Why? On the order of Vali. No, Sugriva. Vali's already dead, sorry. On the order of Sugriva, because Sugriva's their king. And they just do what he says, that's all. And Sugriva had to do so as a matter of duty, as repaying Rama did a favor for Sugriva, so Sugriva has to repay that by helping Rama. So Rama, of course, doesn't need any help. But anyone who helps him becomes blessed by doing so. So the whole army of monkeys, they're all rounded up. And as a matter of duty, they're all marching toward Setubandha with the aim of going to Lanka and conquering Lanka. But they're going with Rama. And it's the nature of Rama that You may, even it, just as a duty, you're going, like almost like mercenary soldiers. But just by being with Rama, anyone who comes into his presence, or what to speak of those who serve him, what to speak of those who serve him in the matter most dear to him, of recovering Sita, then naturally Rama becomes very dear. And there becomes very dear. And so the soldiers, they're going, they're willing to give their life for him. Of course, that Duryodhana, what? Madate takta jivita. The soldiers on the side of Duryodhana, he also said, all these soldiers, they're all willing, they're all prepared to give up their life for me. But they were doing it only as a duty. Karna had some feeling, but many of them, they didn't, like Bhishma, he was fighting for Duryodhana, but he'd always tell him, what a nonsense you are, right in the middle of the fight, in the battlefield. He didn't care, but he'd like to see Duryodhana dead, actually. As a matter of duty, he was fighting for him. So, but for the monkeys, it became for them, because they're devotees, they became for them that they're going to fight, and they're very willing to give their life. For them, that Sita is reunited with Rama becomes to them as important as it is to Ram, practically. I mean, just like Ram, his whole consciousness is there's nothing in his mind. He can only think of Sita. So the monkeys, they can only think that now they're fully focused on this mission. How we have to do whatever part we can do according to our capacity of reuniting Sita with Rama. So eventually they did. They went there. The whole long story, the battle. Ravana was defeated. And then Rama offered his head, threw his 10 heads in 10 directions as an offering, a pleasing offering to the lords of the 10 directions, because they were harassed. He came to, we read in the verse, Surya Karya Chikirshaya. Rama came to perform some pleasing work for the demigods. So when he killed Ravana, he distributed the 10 directions, 10 major demigods. So that's in the Dashavatar Stotra, which we just sung, that he pleased the Digpatis, the 10, the demigods in charge of the 10 around and up, down, and so on. So that's all over, and then Ravana's dead, and millions of rakshasas and millions of monkeys are also dead. And then Sita has to come. So it's like the climax, and the monkeys, they're seeing what a great personality Ram is, that even Indra is sending. First of all, he can conquer Ravana. What a person. They answer, not the monkeys, they didn't. They're throwing some rocks and killing the rakshasas, but killing Ravana, that has to be Rama. And then Indra is sending his chariot, and there's just the most amazing things are going on, much more than any Indiana Jones story, whatever it may be. I haven't seen it. I have no intention of wasting my time seeing it. But, what kind of woman can be married to Rama? It's not any woman. There's millions of women in the world. But he will only accept her. What kind of woman can satisfy him? What kind of person is it that, even though Rama is full and complete and perfect in himself, he's so much desire for Sita. And what kind of qualities she must have to satisfy Rama. And what kind of beauty must she have to be a suitable match for Rama, who is so beautiful that, of course, the Rakshasas, by their sinful nature, they could not appreciate. They wanted to kill Rama, but anyone of any piety must be charmed by seeing the transcendentally beautiful form of Rama. So who is this Sita for whom millions of people have died? And Sita herself, after she was feeling hopeless, and but then Rama has come. The battle is over. She has to go and meet him. So like bringing them together, and she's in great expectation. And normally it would be thought that she should be, she wouldn't show herself in public, but Rama said that, no, let all the monkeys see, let everyone see Sita, for whom they came here to fight. And Sita, she's just thinking, now I will see Rama after such a long time, for even one moment of separation is very painful for her, but such a separation. And then she's to see Ram. And then how is Ram? Ram is standing. He's not happy. Not looking happy at all. Then Sita comes and bows down, and Ram said, all right, very good, now you can go. I did my duty to save the honor of our race, of our dynasty, because I've been insulted. I brought you back, but now I cannot take you back because you've been away with another man. So how harsh. It's just... how it must be very difficult for those who are speaking even to say these words of Rama. Even Valmiki to write this, it must be very difficult to write this, to repeat it. In the drama, how they, when they're making the drama, actually it's not a drama. They don't call it a drama. It's not a natak. It's Ram. When they see, they make the drama, it's not a drama. It's Ram Leela. It's not called a drama. Drama is a depiction of something else, but Ram Leela is Ram Leela, that's all. So these very, very harsh words, unimaginable, Sita couldn't have imagined. Anyway, she protested her chastity, and she said, then let me, I will, to prove the chastity, she will enter the fire. She said that if even for 1 second I had any thought but your lotus feet, if for even 1 second my fidelity wavered even slightly, may this fire consume me. So actually we find even in the history of Europe, they used to have similar tests for criminals. That they would put an iron bar in the fire, and someone who's accused of a crime, they'd have to grab that. And if they're innocent, it won't burn them. So in the modern age, you might think that's what kind of a test is that? Obviously they're going to burn, but it appears that they, for it to be at all a realistic test, they had some communion with higher powers they had the faith that I am innocent, God is my witness. In any case where there's no witness, God is the witness. He will protect me. And people who had that faith, they would be protected. So people had that faith. It must have worked until people became faithless. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. when Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj passed away, and then all the Babajis, they wanted to take Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj's transcendental form to make his samadhi so they could get some prestige and some money from that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said that, they said, you can't take it. We're Babaji, you're not a Babaji. Because they thought themselves superior to him, because he hadn't officially accepted the dress of a Babaji, although he was living just like Gorky Shah, a very extremely renounced life. So they, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that, although I have not officially accepted the vows of renunciation, I am the only disciple of Babaji Maharaj, and I am not a monkey-like renunciant like all of these people here, he said to the police chief of Navadvipa. So he said, I will accept. Any one of them can take. Any one of them can take. If within the last year, none of them had anyone who did not have any illicit sexual connection. Of course, Babaji's, they're not supposed to have any sexual connection. Got some burning in my eye. Then even within the last month, if that's too difficult, 1 year, if any of them didn't have any sexual connection, then they may take them. Even within 3 days, if any of them didn't touch a woman, then they can take the form of Babaji Maharaj. Otherwise, I'm taken. And the police chief said, well, how will you ascertain that? Saraswati, he said that, I will take their word for it. No one dared. Because they knew that if they had touched the body of Babaji Maharaj, Saraswati Thakur, having said, he said that if any of them who, even within 3 days, they have touched a woman, if they dare to touch this transcendental body, they will be completely ruined. No one dared. Because they knew that Saraswati, if he says, that's a fact. They knew there's a higher order, higher power. At least they had that much faith, even though they were not good Babajis. So like that, Sita Devi said, I'll enter the fire. And the monkeys, they couldn't. Oh. Then Rama says to Lakshman, okay, build a fire. He didn't say, no, okay, we'll accept. All right. You ready to enter the fire? All right, then don't. All right, I'll take your word for it. He told Lakshman, build a fire. Collect the wood, build a fire. And then Lakshman, he came next time, he said, I'll never be the younger brother again. I have to follow the orders of my brother and what things he puts me through. Next time I'm going to be the elder brother. So next time he came as Balaram. So, then he had to light the fire, which means Agni came and Sita entered, and then the monkeys, and anyone who hears it even today, they can't imagine what is Ram doing. That he who he loves so much, and we came here, we fought with millions of monkeys and rakshasas who've given their life, the city of Lanka is destroyed, and now she's going to enter the fire. And of course, she came immediately out. Agni Dev gave her. And then again later, because actually the rule is that no one should, if a woman is outside the house after dark, what to speak of all night, what to speak of day after day, if she goes out alone by herself after sunset, then she's rejected. That's all. She's not fit to be in the house. But Sita, she proved her chastity. And Rama, he said, I knew all this, but anyway, this had to be proved. Now that's proved. They came back and very happily they lived in Ayodhya. And we worship Ayodhya Ram. The devotees here, they wanted to make a cottage for Rama in Chitrakoot. But we worship Ayodhya Ram. That time when he's come back from Ayodhya, we worship Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. We worship him. He's in his glory. Everything is perfect. Everything is nice. Of course, Dasharatha has passed away, but that's inevitable. Ravana is vanquished. And then the washerman, he accuses his wife that you spend the night outside. I'm not like that Rama who'll take back his wife. You go out of here. Now, interestingly, for most of the history of Europe, which got extended over into America, the Jewish race has been persecuted because it was the Jews who killed Jesus, so they say. Because of the Jews, Jesus got killed. But it's not like in India, the whole washerman race has been persecuted or rejected. There's one washerman who was very sinful, that's all. Otherwise, they're not rejected. But a very sinful, envious person. Actually, from the ordinary point of view, what he said was acceptable. But because Rama is not ordinary, it's became the source of more sadness. Just when you thought all the sadness was over, everything's nice, then again, Rama showing the ideal model of what should be done as a human, how a human should behave, how he puts dharma above personal interest. This, everyone should hear Ram Leela again and again and again to understand how we have to put dharma, living according to the laws of God, acting selflessly. Then actually we should hear Krishna Leela. Otherwise what happens is people become Prakriti Sahajivas. They hear Krishna Leela and they think, well, Krishna broke all the rules, we can break all the rules. But first you should hear Ram Leela and understand that Krishna is Rama. As Rama, he is known as Maryada Purushottam, he who shows proper behavior for all human beings. And as Krishna, he is Prem Purushottam or Leela Purushottam. He has his Leela, which no one can imitate, so don't imitate. Follow Rama, don't imitate Krishna. So this should all be understood. So anyway, Rama is so righteous, and so much wanting to establish the standard, that he sends Sita away. Oh, there's some story about, then again that washerman, he came in Krishna Leela as the, when Krishna and Balaram, Krishna and Rama, that means Rama and Lakshman, they entered Mathura, then one washerman, he was carrying the clothes, the new clothes. Don't think that Krishna wore clothes which were previously used by Kamsa, new clothes. Freshly made clothes for the king, or just cloth. And later the tailor came and made the clothes. So Krishna Balaram said, hey, give that to us. Hey. He said, and the washerman, speaking in a way which from the normal point of view would be quite proper, said, well, you naughty boys, you don't say that. Don't you know this for the king? Everything good should be given to the king. Don't say such things. So, because the king was Kamsa, who should not be served, And because Krishna is Krishna, who should be served, Krishna by his hand chopped off the head of the washerman. So you may say, well, that's very bad. Why should he do that? But because that washerman was in the previous life, that washerman in Ramlila, who was so envious of Rama, but Rama very mercifully at that time didn't kill him. He said, yes, he said right. Actually, he was saying wrong because Sita is completely spotless. And in Krishna Leela, from the point of view of ordinary dharma, the washerman was speaking right. But he was wrong. So Krishna cut off his head, gave him liberation. Don't do that again. And then the tailor came, who was in... who at Janakpur had made the clothes for Rama and Lakshman at their wedding. He's the same tailor come again in Mathura and made the nice clothes for Krishna and Balaram. So you can also do, the ladies, they can make nice clothes, or men can, ladies or men. In Bombay, in ISKCON, in Juhu, who's been making clothes for Radha Ras Bihari all his life, is a Muslim tailor. Mostly the tailors in India seem to be Muslim, many are Muslims. At least in Bengal. We see in Chaitanya Leela also, one Muslim tailor was there. So, oh, that reminds me, that same, that question was asked about Shurpanaka, that in Ram Leela, it's very similar to Kubja in Krishna Leela, but in Ram Leela, Ram treated her so badly, apparently, and Krishna treated her so nicely. Well, the reason is because Shurpanaka is Kubja. That you don't find her after she comes and complains to Ravana, and then she goes with Kara and Dushana and all the, how many, 14,000 Rakshasas to kill Rama in the forest. But guess what? Lakshman says that, hey, you just stay here, Rama, I'll look after them. And Rama says, no, you just wait there, I'll look after them. So Rama just kills them all. And then Shurpanaka, she goes back and says, you killed them all. And you don't hear much about her after that. In Ram Leela, in the Ramayana, which she had gone away to Pushkar and entered in the water for 10,000 years to do tapasya, 10,000 celestial years. She got the benediction from Lord Shiva. She wanted to become Rama's wife. But he said, no, you can't, because she only has one. He only has one wife. Eka Patni Vrata. So, you may say he treated her very badly, but actually she was offensive to Sita. She wanted to eat Sita. She wanted to kill Sita. And anyway, with Rakshasas and Rakshasis, there's no harm if you cut them up and kill them anyway. It's just like some poisonous snake. Even if he's not doing any harm, you can kill it. That's considered good. Because it's his nature to do harm. Modeta sadarapi vrishchika sarpahata. The sadhus, they become pleased when a scorpion or a snake is killed, because even they may not be doing harm at that moment, but it's their tendency to do harm. So you can kill them, unless you're in Udupi, and don't kill them in that area, in Tulu Nadu. So, or in a Shiva temple, you also shouldn't kill them. So via Lakshman, he punished her. But she still had a desire to be Rama's wife. But that was an illicit desire, because that position is reserved for Sita. So she had that desire, so Shiva eventually blessed her and said that, all right, next time can be. Because Krishna, he can have any number of wives. So you can become one of them. But she didn't become one of the gopis. You see, there are many gopis, they come from different groups. There's the Rishichari gopis, who were the sages at Dandakaranya, who, seeing the beauty of Rama, they wanted to have a relationship with him like Sita. Now, are not friends at Galva, they might jump on this one, but it's a purely spiritual desire that they felt attraction to in their spiritual nature. They wanted to serve Rama as a wife, but he said, just wait till the next time. So there are many like that. The Shutichari gopis, the different parts of the Upanishads, who they got fed up of just having boring, impersonal knowledge and said, hey, we want to be gopis. Said, okay, they can be with Krishna. So I like this. There's so many. There are different girls in different places where Krishna went who desired to be with Krishna, but they're already married. But so Krishna accepted so many. But Shurpanaka, she was a very it was a material. The Kubja, she approached Krishna with practically, it was material desire. Whereas the gopis, their love for, they didn't approach Krishna with any material desire, only the desire to serve him. Whereas Shurpanaka, she wanted to enjoy herself. Her motive had not changed. So in that, actually, from the, it's written in Garga Sanghita, it's not clear whether she actually took another birth or whether she is the same person. She just lived on, just like Sudama. In Krishna Leela, he went in a cave in Govardhan, and he woke up sometime later, and it was Chaitanya Leela, and he became Abhiram Thakur at that time. So he wasn't that he took another form, but he just somehow went to sleep for a long time. And in Leela time is not much time. And he just became, so it seems that it may be that she's the same form, but somewhat purified consciousness, and in a nasty, we're not allowed to say that these days, but a hunchback form means it's a very sinful form. Nowadays they're called, not as physically challenged, they've got another term, different bodied or something like that, they call it now. Different abilities or something like that. Persons of different ability. So she, a hunchback, means a very sinful form, actually. But Krishna straightened her out and gave her a nice form. So that question came up, but why did Krishna treat differently? Because Rama is Rama and Krishna is Krishna. That's a different, the same person, but different mood, different function, different purpose. Different things to do. But whatever, it's all kindness. Whatever they do, it's all kindness. So people criticize Rama. Why was he so cruel? Actually, we, along with speaking on these pastimes, we also have to explain for the sake of sinful people. Or people are influenced by the wrong propaganda, which is very strong here in Tamil Nadu. There's a whole political movement based on hatred of Rama. So what offenses they've made to Rama. So we should rectify those offenses by giving people proper knowledge of who is Rama, why he does what he does. He is not to be questioned. Now they say, you see, Rama was from North India and he came and attacked South India and all this kind of all rascaldom, what they say. And then on the basis of that, you see, Rama's not good, Jesus is good, so he should become a Christian. And so many bogus things. So actually, much philosophy education is required. First of all, people have no idea what is Ram Lila, what to mention the subtleties and the proper understanding of it. So much education is required. So we Lila that is required, but it should be on the background of proper understanding. Why? Otherwise Rama may seem very cruel. Why is he doing that? Why is he banishing Sita? So it's a great culture to understand all this, how chastity of women is essential. There cannot be any civilization if women are not chaste. This whole idea of women's independence, women's liberation, actually there can be no culture or civilization if there's women's independence, because independence means then strishu dushtashu, they become, then illicit sex, and then the whole atmosphere is spoiled, and then there's, how can you practice dharma? How can there be any uplift of society? In society, if there's cow killing, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, how can there be any welfare for society? So people don't understand that how important are these principles. They think that women are exploited because they think that the goal of life is sense gratification. So they should be free. Everyone should be free to enjoy as much as they like. But they don't know that they in the Vaishnava family, they're, everything they're doing is all bhakti. They're cooking daily for the Lord. They're not cooking, of course, in the mundane understanding, they cook for their husband, but actually they cook for Krishna. First they are, then they offer to their husband, understanding him as a Vaishnava, like this. So people don't know this cut. So to materialistic people, all these things, they can't understand. So it's a great culture and the understanding behind it. So all that education is required. Otherwise, superficially, it may look, it may seem unfair, cruel, but the subtleties that people don't understand. On the very gross platform of sense enjoyment. They think everyone should have equal right to enjoy their senses. Why do you discriminate? But no. The Kshatriya should be there, Rama should be there. To allow people only to indulge in this sense enjoyment only within dharma. And that also ultimately not at all. Kamasya nindriya priti. What is the next line? Kamasya nindriya priti. Labha jivaita yavata. Jivasya tatva jigyasa narto yascheha karma bihi. One should not live for sense gratification. The senses should interact with the sense objects only as much as required to maintain body and soul together for the purpose of inquiring into tattva. What is reality? What is the nature of reality? So, people who live for sense gratification, how can they understand all these things? So we should distribute by books, by speaking, by living according to these shastras. We should just read Gita, Bhagavatam, Ramayana, all this. So much work to do. People are going to hell. Unfortunately, they don't know. See, the children are chanting. Very naturally, they can take it up from a young age. Otherwise, if you just send them to school by the age of 10, they'll be ready to join Ravana. They'll prefer to join Ravana than Rama, just by the demoniac education they get. So, Hare Krishna, any questions about this, or comments, or thoughts, or anything just now? Yeah.
Is it known, was this devotion meant before Ramana, why he went to accept such an ungrateful role?
Who is the washerman before Ramlila? What sadhana did he do to get such a position? I don't know that. He must have been extremely envious to have the opportunity to mess up everything like that. There's a story, it's not exactly the same, told of Vallabhacharya. But actually I think it's older than this. He may have done this, but it's older than Vallabhacharya, but it's attributed to him by his followers. That once he was walking with some disciples and he saw one snake crawling on the ground surrounded by red ants who were eating him alive. Those big red ants, if you get bitten by one, you'll know it's extremely painful. He was surrounded by many of them. So the disciples asked Vallabh that what did he do in his previous life to come to such a situation of being eaten alive by these red ants. You see that quite often here, that you'll see some insect is not quite dead, but too weak to resist, and the ants, they carry it off while he's still struggling. So anyway, Vallabh said that in his previous life, this snake was the guru of all the ants who were his disciples. And he cheated them and exploited them and mistaught them. So this, now it's come to this position. Guru Nasasyat Namochi Adya Samapeta Mrityam. Don't be a guru if you can't deliver your disciples from birth and death. Yeah.
At the beginning, you commented about this Dasha
Avatara.
This word assume is not maybe used correctly.
Sorry, what?
That this word assume the form.
Assume the form. I don't know, maybe assume has some other meanings, but the general meaning would be that the general impression that you get is that there's, if you say assume the form of a fish, it gives the impression that he doesn't have an eternal form like that. He's just copying some other form that some other fish have. It's a subtlety of the English language.
Fish which came by the means of evolution.
Yeah.
Prabhupada,
he also says, yes, yeah, then I saw that. So, I have to say, maybe. You can also say like that, if you know what the actual fact is, but if you don't know the proper understanding behind it, you might misunderstand it. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Oh, which way round is the right way? Either way is the right way. Not to say it is the wrong way. That's all. Bhagavad